Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
This episode has been sponsored by Generation UCAN. More about our sponsor later on in the show.
You're listening to
episode 200 of the Marathon Running Podcast. In this episode, we're going to talk about the fact that it's 1 month till Boston. This is the Marathon Running Podcast by Letty and Ryan from We Got the Runs. Join us in our running community for weekly content that is motivational, educational, and inspirational, and let the Marathon Running Podcast take you from the starting line to the finish line and beyond. Hey runners, and welcome to episode 200 of the Marathon Running Podcast. My name is Letty.
My name is Ryan.
And we have 1 month till Boston. It reminds me of the song by Kermit the Frog, One More Sleep Till Christmas.
I don't even know that song. I'm sure I've heard it, but... Anyway, 200 weeks of marathon podcasts, huh?
Without interruption. Well, I think we had 4 or 5 replays during the hurricane season where we didn't have electricity. But that's it.
No excuse.
Yeah, I know. I know. If it were now, I would probably be...
There's a generator outside.
We probably ran out of gas. But if it were now, I'd probably somehow magically get it. But you know what? We also didn't have internet, so...
It's a milestone. Maybe we'll get 200 listeners on the 200th episode.
Oh, that would be bad. I don't think I'd be podcasting anymore if we're counting on 200 listeners. Not that size matters, but it does, right? I mean, you want to know you're doing a good job.
You want to know that you're creating some benefit to people, or you're... helping them. If you have 200 listeners is decent, though. But if you had like one listener and it was your brother or something, it probably would not motivate you much to continue on.
Yeah, no, that's true. But yeah, so for those of you that are new, thank you for tuning in. We do a weekly, as you just learned, a running podcast on all things running and coaching and nutrition. We always try to get expert guests because we are not the experts, but we try to connect you with the experts so that way you can have a better running experience. And yeah, thank you to everyone that has tuned in before.
Agreed. Definitely, like we just were saying, it motivates us. I love hearing good messages or messages that people say it's helpful, or even if there's messages that aren't good, like some constructive criticism. I'm always open to that too.
Yes, we love constructive criticism. We love it in the way of direct messages on Instagram, not via less than 5-star reviews. Yeah. But yeah, so here we are, and literally it's a month out till Boston, you guys. For those of you that are running the Boston Marathon, it is almost taper time. For those of you who are not running the Boston Marathon, you can listen to this episode still for some future motivation or just entertainment if you're not interested in running Boston at all. It's always kind of cool to hear certain things about what goes on in the running community.
And it's useful not only for Boston, but other places too.
Exactly. Yeah. So this episode is all about getting you guys hyped up and maybe telling you guys a little bit about the Boston Marathon. But we're going to hype you up a little bit. And then you're going to hear from Ron Tapp, who is an elite coach, who will give you some tips on how to race this marathon and what to do leading up to it in the last month.
So get excited.
Also, I want to invite you guys to tune into YouTube. We now are doing most of our podcasts and putting them onto YouTube. So if you want to see what we look like, if you want to see if Ryan is taller than me, you can do that there.
I thought he has a bigger head than me.
And you can see our cute cuddly dog that usually sits on Ryan's lap. So they always do that, little traitors. But we love him. So let's talk a little bit about the Boston Marathon. One of the most prestigious, arguably, but definitely oldest annual marathons held in the world. The first Boston was in 1897. And it is now also part of the Marathon World Majors, you know, the six major marathons in the world where you can earn a star and then get the 6-star medal upon completing all of them.
Wait, how do you get that medal?
So you have to run all six world major marathons, which are Tokyo, Boston, London, Chicago, New York, and one's escaping me. Berlin. Yeah. Berlin, my country.
So you have
5 of 6.
Yeah. But then do you have to like put in an application or something to get the medal?
Yeah. And you basically just sign up with the Abbott company. It's the Abbott World Majors. So they keep track of all your stars that you earn. And then before completing the last marathon of your series, you email them and let them know, hey, this is going to be my 6-star. And then they have a tent at the finish line where they're awaiting you with this massive round medal with, you know, six different little medals on them to commemorate that.
So that's good to know.
Yeah, it's something, good to know.
Something that maybe if people want to aspire to.
Exactly. And so for that reason, you know, this episode might be useful for that as well.
So historical significance of the Boston Marathon.
Yeah, so I'm going to cheat and read this off here. So the historical significance is that this event, the Boston Marathon, was inspired by the success of the marathon event in 1896 Summer Olympics. And it has since now grown into a symbol of Boston's strength and endurance. Especially, you know, after the bombing that happened in 2013, when two terrorists planted backpacks with bombs that got, unfortunately, went off during the marathon.
Injured a bunch of people. That's a long time ago. I mean, hopefully that didn't take something like that to strengthen it, but it's always been strong, but it's really unfortunate.
Yeah.
But it does sometimes bring communities and people together if, you know, you are faced with tragedy or even adversity or anything.
Yeah, and it seems like, you know, since then the phrase Boston Strong can be seen on items, and it does strengthen it, as you said. So
tell us about the route.
So the route is one that starts, obviously 26.2 miles, but it starts in the town of Hopkinton, and that's west of Boston, and then it runs into Boston. So it's a point-to-point. It's a net downhill. However, there's a lot of hills that are happening during that race, and it ends in Boston at Copley Square. And you go through literally what you would see in a picture book when you're looking at New England images, you know, historic neighborhoods or little inclines. There's obviously things like Heartbreak Hill, which is the series of big hills that happened during the Boston Marathon. And while we're talking about this topic, I want to briefly mention that last year, actually exactly 1 year ago, we recorded an episode labeled Boston Marathon 101, The Course, where we talked to a running coach about every little turn and every little step and hill that happens during the Boston Marathon. And that is episode 147. I will link that in the description of this podcast because I feel like that is super helpful for somebody who has never done Boston, or for those of you guys that are like me who get runner's amnesia, who forget what the race looks like.
Yeah, every time you do a race recap, it's like, so do what happened to their first half? I don't remember. And then you have to think back, and you do remember eventually, but
I do. I'm just more of a person that has a lot of feelings. So I know how I felt doing something, but I can't pinpoint why details. I felt like that. Yeah.
So it is known for being difficult to get into in the qualifying standards, right?
Yes. Boston has a very harsh qualifying standard, and it also is very well known for the charities that it has. There's a ton of charities. You have to raise a lot of money. I think the lowest money amount that you can raise is $8,000. But obviously, you know, it's always great to raise money for a charity. And so there's, I think there is 5,000 8,000 charity spots. And then the rest of the 30,000 runners is going to be people that get in because of a qualifying time. The qualifying time is by age group. So the fastest people of age group of each, you know, corresponding age group gets in first.
And they have actual numbers that you can look up, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're guaranteed entry if you get that number, right?
Yes. Like, for example, this Boston 2024, there was a cutoff by 5 minutes and 29 seconds. So even if your qualifying time is a 3-hour marathon, you had to run 2 hours, 54 minutes and,
a few seconds.
Yes. I was trying to do the math in my head.
I didn't listen to your number, so I couldn't do it either.
Yeah.
Yeah, and by being one of the bigger marathons, do you get a lot of crowds?
A ton of crowds. They are not like New York, not like Tokyo, not like Berlin, because this is a point-to-point race. And so it makes it difficult for people to come see you more than once. And most people probably come cheer from the area where they're staying at. And I want to say, I mean, there's a good 10, 15 miles from after you've started a mile into till mile 16, 17, where you probably really wouldn't stay in a hotel. So it doesn't, so then you're, you know, dependent on the spectators from those specific areas, which is still great. I am just saying it's not like, New York where you have spectators 10 deep.
New York is a pretty much point to point race too, isn't it? But it is a dense city, so there's probably a lot more people.
Yes, exactly.
But yeah, other races like the Stockholm Marathon, not one of the majors, we went by one road like 3 times, which it wasn't repetitive while you were running. It was kind of nice, but then it allowed for a lot of people to stay in one spot and see a lot of people.
Yeah, just turn around and look at the other road behind them. Yeah. So yeah, but I mean, it's still one of my favorite races. I prefer Chicago because of, you know, the logistics, but Boston definitely is probably number two.
So what about some of the events of the weekend?
Yeah, so it's one of the most exciting race weekends because if you are close to the Boston Commons, which is by the finish line area, they put up a fan fest. They put up a Saturday 5K that you can just sign up. You don't have to qualify for it. They have the expo in that area. And the expo, it seems like nowadays the sponsoring brands almost kick out other competitors from the expo. So what happened in Boston is there's a street called Newberry Street, and there's so many running pop-up events, where stores couple up with brands, and it's kind of better than the expo, and obviously good for the brands too, because they don't have to pay the $20,000 or $30,000 for their spot and booth at the expo. So super interesting, exciting. There's a ton of merch you can buy. What else is there? You know, and then there's the festivities, there's pasta dinners, there are shakeout runs also hosted by running clubs, other brands, etc. And I mean, it's kind of like a runner's haven, really unique events, speaking panels, all that stuff. So it's like an expo on steroids, but better.
Like the whole thing is an expo. It's more of an event weekend as opposed to like some marathons where you just do an expo and then race.
Yes, exactly. And believe it or not, Ryan, I actually like that better than the expo, the Newberry Street events and just everything surrounding
it. No, I can see that. I mean, it's basically like a giant expo.
Outside.
And everyone knows your favorite thing is the expo.
Yes, it is. Yeah, so I mean, definitely worth some time spending there.
So what else can you tell us about the Boston Marathon?
I mean, Boston is Boston, right? However you got in is a way, I mean, it's a reason to be proud of yourself. Either you qualified and you trained really hard, or you trained really hard and you are doing a charity, which means you're doing even more work than just following your training plan because you're there fundraising. So I feel like, you know, it kind of calls for a lot of emotion during the run and at the finish line. You see a lot of people hugging, crying. And then, of course, it's one of the, we've talked about that, the world majors that you complete. And depending on the...
He has bragging rights.
Bragging rights. But then also, you know, Boston being in April, a lot of the time the weather is hot or cold, or, you know, not just kind of normal cruising. So you feel extra proud of yourself for finishing this event, just because, I don't know, I feel like there's just so much to it. Yeah.
So what are some of the things that people can do to prepare themselves for doing the Boston Marathon?
I mean, you know, again, it's an interesting and a difficult course. So with that, you have to train smart, but I guess we're kind of late in the game of saying that, because Boston is a month away. There's hills in there.
So hope you train smart.
Yeah, train smart, practice your fueling strategies. Come prepared with throwaway clothes and different clothing options, because I heard that in 2018, obviously that was the year where they had the bad weather. You know, just bring your shoe covers. Shoe covers is one of the items, like shower cap type of things, that I've worn into the tent prior to the marathon, because you have to sit there forever. And if it's raining like it was last year, your feet get wet. And that's not really pleasant to start with. Obviously, no. Inevitable when you're running, but...
Yeah, but it's different if it's raining, because it just gets soaked. Whereas if you're running, your feet get wet, but they might actually... They're not soaked the same way, where you get, like, worse blisters and other stuff.
No, that's true.
From when it rains, but...
Yeah. But, I mean... Other than that, my number one thing is always just enjoy the experience. This is something that we choose to do, so it shouldn't be stressful. It's something that we want to do. And I feel like complaining is the worst thing that we can do in a situation like that, because we've paid money to be there. Our family has made sacrifices with us training and watching kids and all that stuff. So more than anything, I feel like we should be grateful to be there. And, you know, I mean, it's kind of always the same. The day before the marathon, you sit there and you think, why am I here? Why am I doing this to myself? And then as soon as you cross the finish line, you're like, ooh, when's the next time?
I think at every marathon, there's one spectator that says you paid to do this.
Yeah.
With a sign to make you feel bad.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, given the notoriety of the marathon, the Boston Marathon, and being what it is, it can become more of a memorable experience even than a marathon that's maybe less well known.
Absolutely, yeah. And obviously, as you know, it's kind of, for me, it was a one-time thing, and then now it's a almost yearly thing, just like Chicago. But you know, if it's a good thing, why would you not come back to it? And along those lines, we are now going to hear from Ron Tab.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
My running coach and our family friend who used to race in the 80s professionally, his PR is a 2:09:31 that he ran when the world record was only 30 seconds away. So, you know, that just tells you what type of caliber he is. He still frequently travels to races, and including Boston sometimes, and he coaches a bunch of elite runners and lay people like myself. And he is going to give us a little talk about what we can do 1 month out from Boston.
Yeah, I think Ron can definitely give you some insights into the race. It's just funny. I always think of when I hear those times. One, I think of how amazing was it that they were running so fast back in the 80s. And we think of all the new technology with shoes and stuff that we have now, but the times are not that drastically different. I mean, it is a lot, you know, a minute, but when you're talking about 2 hours, I would think it would have been greater, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree.
But it just shows, I guess, that people are at their peak, you know, of what they're capable of, where we're at now even. And any little improvements, just small increments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely.
But that being said, you know, he's done it, or he's been to the Boston Marathon, raced in it, and then been for the spectator and other things for years. So
podium came in second in 1983. and third and everything else, you know, around that time when he was racing. So he's definitely a good person to hear from when it comes to really, you know, if you want to do your best in this marathon, this would be the person to hear from.
We'll get into it.
All right. So without any further ado, we're now going to hear from Ron Tabb. All right. So I'm back on here with Ron Tabb. Ron, welcome back.
Hi. Thank you for having me again.
Of course. We wanted to do a podcast, an episode, and talk a little bit about things that should be done, should have been done, etc. So how about I give you the microphone and let you do the leading as to what we should be talking about when we're a month out from Boston?
Well, there's a lot that goes into the preparation, and, you know, most of the preparation has been done or should have been done by now. Let's, you know, we've arrived at Boston. You know, you want to get there at least by Saturday, so you're well rested before the race. You know, that will be the most, the two nights before is actually your most important night of rest. You know, and I know the excitement of going to the convention center, picking up your bib number and, you know, seeing everything and everyone that's there, excites most people, but that can be distracting and taking away from your actual performance. Because if you're on your legs, you're losing, you're wasting energy. I typically like, and I encourage my, athletes to just, you know, go pick up your bib number, you know, go to the expo, do it for, you know, an hour or so, but get back to the hotel and get off your feet, you know, read a book, turn on the boob tube, check your emails, do whatever you're doing, but stay off your feet as much as possible. Keep, you know, stay rested. You know, go out and get your little shakeout run on Saturday and Sunday. Get a few strides in on Sunday, and you know, begin your carbo loading on Friday or Saturday rather. And, you know, so you know, the most important meal is probably going to be your Saturday meal. Sunday, you're going to eat light, but you still want a carbo load. And it sounds crazy, but one of my one of the things I liked doing was I'd just get a bag of Chip Ahoy cookies and you know, and make sure that I had, you know, plenty of electrolytes in the room to wash it down. But that was my routine. I didn't want to be out socializing. I didn't want to be out at the expo. I made myself very, I guess, invisible, because I just wanted to focus on, you know, focus on the race.
Yeah, which is kind of hard when it comes to Boston, just because Boston is not just a race. As we all know, it's more of a convention of runners, and you have all these panels, one of which you might be on this year. And so it's hard to just decide, I'm going to forego all of this and just sit in my hotel room. Meanwhile, all this greatness is happening around me.
Oh, I understand it, but I mean, you're spending... to do, you know, to go to Boston, you're spending a couple of thousand dollars to go out there, you know, between your airfare, your hotel, and so on and so forth. And you've put in, hopefully you've put in at least 12 to 14 weeks of buildup towards Boston. I don't want to go personally. I don't want to go to a race like that and not get as much out of the race as I possibly can. I, you know, one of the reasons I've worked my butt off to get to that point is because I want to see what I'm capable of doing. And those distractions of being on your feet for 5 or 6, and I see it all, you know, we were in Paris. You saw that last April. You know, and you're at the, you go to the packet pickup and there's the expo and, you know, all the vendors have everything to, you know, to look at and to try. And then you're getting the photo ops and so on and so forth. But that's a distraction, and that's going to potentially keep you from seeing what you're fully capable of doing.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Absolutely true. It's good to find a balance. Maybe you can get there a day early and enjoy these festivities beforehand. And then there's always the after party. You can always party as much as you want to after the race.
Now that's what you look forward to.
At this time, we want to thank our sponsor, UCAN. Are you tired of a spike and crash and GI distress that comes with the sugar-based sports nutrition? It's time to give UCAN a try. UCAN uses steady-release carbs instead of sugars, so you don't feel the highs and the lows in energy. UCAN powders, gels, and bars are powered by Life Steady, a patent starch-based carbohydrate that was originally developed as a medical food to help children maintain stable blood sugar throughout the night. It's backed by science and truly unique in energy source. Clinically proven to help blood sugar stable during exercise, Live Steady supports sustained performance and optimal energy levels. I've tried UCAN now for the past couple of months and I've been happy with my long runs and how I feel. Also, they don't taste bad, and after mile 15, I can still stomach them. Top marathon runners in the U.S., including Emily Sisson, Sarah Hall, Emma Bates, and Chiara D'Amato, all use UCAN for fuelings. So why shouldn't you give them a try? Especially because marathon running podcast listeners have a chance to try 4 gels for free. All you pay for is the cost of shipping. So head over to ucan.co/MRP, which, by the way, stands for Marathon Running Podcast, to claim this offer and get your free samples. If you are already using UCAN and you want that 20% discount, you can just go to ucan.co and save those 20% with code MRP. Hey runners, have you ever heard of Runner Athletics? That's R-U-N-U-R. Runner Athletics is the ultimate go-to brand for all your athletic apparel needs. Picture this. Soft joggers, perfect companions for your running journey. The Runcation joggers are made from crazy soft Runcation fabric. They're oversized, baggy, and crafted with the perfect weight fabric to keep you comfortable at any climate. Now, if you prefer a snug fit, check out their Run Active joggers. They're designed for both performance and styles with no cotton and nothing to worry about. Last but not least, pair your outfit with the matching Runcation jacket for warmth and style. So, don't compromise on style and comfort. Check them out at runner.run, that's runur.run, and use code runur_MRP20 for 20% off. We're also having all this linked in our show notes. And now back to the show. So let me talk to you a little bit about Boston, since you've done it and you got second in 83. Maybe talk to us a little bit about tips that you have for the course, because the course has not changed.
Yeah, I do have a little experience there. You know, that bus ride that you take out to Hopkinson, you know, that's where you just, you know, it's a, you get up early, you know, you're looking for a place to, you know, to just stay warm, stretch out. It's crowded. It can be cold. It can be hot. You just never know what to expect when you're there, you know, and then you're looking for your corral. The nice thing about, you get to do almost a little meditation on the way from the hotel to the, Hopkinton, you know, sitting on the bus there and reflecting. No, you think about your race strategy, making sure that you have everything, from the hotel to the, you know, to the starting line, you know, make sure you've got, your little bag, you've got your Vaseline, you know, to put, potential chafing areas. Make sure you have your shoes, everything's pinned properly. I mean, everything has to be perfect. And, you know, then you're thinking about, okay, what do I want to do? You know, I get to this, you know, I'm on the starting line. How do I want to approach the race? And, my first experience in Boston was a disaster because I had, I didn't know the course. I'd never run the course before. I didn't realize that the first, you know, we didn't have social media. We didn't have the internet and access to everything we do today. And so that first 9 miles at Boston is a screamer, because you're basically dropping in altitude, and it's really easy to go out way, way too fast. And then by the time you realize that you've gone out too fast, it's too late. And for me, it was a race where, if I knew what I know today, I would have run it completely different. So advising folks that are running Boston, maybe for their first time, is to go out very conservatively. Don't get caught up in the excitement with the helicopters and the media and, the world-class athletes that you're going to see there. I mean, try to keep the adrenaline to, under control, so you're not going out faster than what you know that you're capable of doing. If you're a 3-hour marathon runner, don't go out at 5-minute pace. If you're a 4-hour, don't go out at 6-minute pace. Find something that is, you should by now, what your pace is, what you're capable of doing. So start off or begin your race a little bit slower than what you believe your average pace will be for the race. And you'll have a much better experience.
Even though it's downhill and then uphill, right? Because I know normally when we have a race course, it's still hard, but it's easier to negative split when you have a race course that has a downhill towards the end. But with Boston, we're kind of seeing, the 4 Newton Hills are going to be after mile 16. So how do you negative split on a course like that?
Again, going out conservatively. My 83 race, I almost ran identical splits. I was 104 and change for the first half and 104 and change for the second half. And that was because I'd run Boston a few times, so I knew how to manage the course. I didn't let the course dictate to me how it was going to be run. I knew how the course was, so I was much more conservative with my approach, staying just under 5-minute pace to begin with, and finishing up at just under, even the last mile, it was the fastest mile of the 26 that I ran. I was under 4:40 for the last mile. And that was because I run a smart race from start to finish.
Okay. And let me take another step back. I know that you lived in Houston, I'm assuming, at the time you're running Boston. And so that's a flat area. And I know that you always tell your athletes you can train on flat and still do well on hills. Talk to us a little bit about that, because all those training plans out there, most of them do dictate that for Boston particularly, run bridges or find anything with an incline so that way your body can get used to that.
Yeah, my training was probably unorthodox compared to what most folks do today. And yes, everything you read is, hill train, hill train, hill train, because Boston is so hilly. When I lived in Houston, obviously I had the same situation living in Florida. There are no hills to train on. But I maybe made a compensation or a compensated for the lack of hills by running very fast on the flats. And so many of the workouts that I was doing, many of the runs that I did, I was running basically at race pace or within 10 seconds of what race pace will be to negotiate the hills without having any issues.
Okay, awesome. All right, so a couple more things. I know that you had one Boston race that kind of blew up because you didn't hydrate at all. Can you talk to us about the importance of hydration?
Yeah. I had been successful in running races, marathons without taking liquids while I was running. So it's Boston 79. It was a warm day. And I attempted to run because trying to grab a bottle at an aid station or a cup at an aid station it got you out of your rhythm, got me out of my rhythm. And it's really hard when you're trying to grab that. So I get to the 21, 22 mile mark, and I'm in running the top 10 at that point. And all of a sudden I go from where just I'm dizzy, I'm dehydrated, I haven't taken any liquids, and I go from running low 5 minute pace to running high 7 minute pace. So I go from being in the top 10 to where I was 51st or 52nd, you know, went from running a 212 marathon to a 219 marathon. So I just completely crashed the last 3 miles. It was, it was a train wreck. So you definitely want to begin, you want to hydrate well before your race. And that even goes back to, you know, before you get on the buses to take off for the, for Hopkinton, you know, take some liquids with you, you know, take your water bottle, with whatever it is that you have in it. And then, try to take, aid, early and often, on the course, especially if it's if it's a warm day.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got the tips for a lot of things. Any other additional tips that you have for a first-time Boston runner or people that could potentially have anything that they could improve with?
Well, you definitely want to, you don't want to try anything in a, in a, any race that you haven't tried in practice. So whatever you're doing, what your plans are for your races, you should practice it in your training ahead of time. Don't wear a brand new pair of shoes that you haven't run in before. You know, don't eat something that you haven't eaten before your race, because it may sneak up on you and you're fine looking for a porta potty somewhere along the course. You know, make sure that everything that you do in a race is something that you've done in training. Don't try anything new before your races, or you may regret it, you know?
Yeah.
So could make for a long day.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. Well, cool, Ron. Hopefully we'll see you out in Boston, and thank you for talking to us about that.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
All right. Thank you, Ron, for speaking with us. Ryan, do you have anything else? Any other things that you think people should do in the last month prior to the marathon?
Oh, you caught me off guard there. I think that I just remember like that it's the whole thing is an experience, and experiences are one of the probably best things you can do for yourself over your life. I think they always talk about spending money on experiences rather than things, and then lead to happier a life. So I think just keep that in mind and just take the whole experience in and try to enjoy it.
Yeah, and I'm going to piggyback on that. I like that you said that. And I also feel like, you know, you can always learn from those experiences too. And then if you are not satisfied with your performance, you can do better learning from that said experience. Okay. All right. So that's it for today. I hope you enjoyed this episode and learned a little bit of something and got motivated, hyped up. And we will see you there next month. Hopefully we'll be going to a couple of these fan fest events. And if you see me, say hi, please. And with that,
happy, happy Boston Marathon.
Thanks for tuning in. For more information, head to www.runningpodcast.us. And as always, have a great week of running.
Are you looking for the perfect apparel that mirrors your love for running? Look no further than Run Swag, the go-to store by runners for runners. From witty tees to hoodies that commemorate your marathon majors to crops that get you motivated, Run Swag's got you covered. Discover the perfect blend of comfort and style. Visit www.runswag.com. Run Swag, there's something for every runner.